This podcast is a part of the Neuhoff Media Podcast Network.
John Strimstreffer with the Community Foundation Land of Lincoln. How many years have you been involved?
Over 18 now.
Come on.
I know.
Wasn't your first job
out
of college? Where were you at? Remind me.
I was at UIS right before I came to the Community Foundation, worked at Ursuline before that.
And then yeah.
I was in state government before that.
I didn't realize all those stops along the way.
Yeah, well, those are short stops. This
can't hold a job, huh, John?
That's right.
We just talked. A lot of people are changing careers locally.
Are.
We talked about Lisa Clemens Stott, and I know you have the utmost respect for her. And
absolutely.
So on. You have anything you want to announce today?
No.
Thank you. As a matter of fact, remind us again what the Community Foundation is all about and how did it get started? And you've been there since day one.
Yeah, the Community Foundation is a philanthropic organization. So generous people in the community establish charitable funds at the foundation. We administer those funds and give money away to all kinds of good causes. When I started, it was under $1 million in total assets, and we gave away a few thousand dollars a year. Now we're around $54 million in total assets, given away over $3 million last year. So it's really grown. It's been an exciting part of my life over the last 18 years, and we keep growing, thank goodness. Even through the last crazy year we've all lived through, it was one of the, I'd say, most impactful years we've ever had at the foundation. People continue to set up funds. We gave away more money than ever before. Along with the United Way, we administered the COVID response fund for our community, which was very dynamic and exhausting at the time a year ago when everybody was quite nervous. But it's I love it, Sam. I still love the work. We have, I think, a bigger impact than ever before. And we're also really, really, really excited about this Next 10 project we took on in the middle of a pandemic as well. And the ideas that came forward for this are, I think, truly transformational for the community.
Let's go back. If someone wants to set up a foundation, they just have some money that they want to set in a foundation to help other people. Is there a minimum? How do they do all this?
Yeah, depending on the type of fund they want to establish, it's $10,000 or $20,000 to have a grant-making fund at the foundation. But it's very simple. Usually we just sit down and have a conversation to hear what they care about, and then we establish what we call a fund agreement to kind of lay out exactly what they want to do with their charitable fund. And it is remarkable. We have 250 funds we administer now. And just in the last couple of weeks, we've had a flurry of activity. People keep calling us. It is, don't tell anybody, but it's the easiest fundraising job in town because we don't really sell people on specific issue areas. We just talk to them, hear what they care about, and then try to model funds that would fit their needs.
John, do other communities have these foundations?
Oh,
And were we kind of, late to the game? And what took us so long to get there?
Yeah, they're all around the country. Almost every square inch of the United States now probably has some service from a community foundation. We're a little later than some. It was really in the 90s when donor-advised funds is a type of fund we administer. Those emerged throughout the country as tools for philanthropy, a much more simple alternative to a private foundation. And that's when community foundations really started to explode around the country. But they've been around for over a century. We had a predecessor organization called the Sangamon County Foundation that started in 1924.
Okay.
So the original funds we used to establish the Community Foundation came from that organization, and it was in 2002 when we changed the legal structure and started doing what we do now.
Give me the idea, the impetus behind the Next 10. Where'd the idea come from? How long were you folks working on it before it became to fruition?
A couple years ago, during strategic planning for the Community Foundation through our board, we thought we should probably take stock. We're growing a lot. How can we better serve the community? And there was a few ideas we had. The biggest among them, I'd say, was to take on a community visioning project for the community. We had been concerned about some of the trends we had been seeing, like others see in the community, of population loss, concerned about especially the segregation in the community that many articles have pointed out. We thought, well, maybe we could bring some people together and do something about that. And that's when we embarked upon this process. And in February of 2020, a board meeting, we voted to confidently move ahead, hire some consultants and to work with us. And then 2 weeks later, the whole world changed. And so after the pandemic, and I mentioned before that COVID response fund, we thought perhaps this visioning project could be something to inspire people during those dark days of the COVID-19 period, and also be used when it was completed as almost a recovery plan for the Springfield area. And knock on wood, to this point, I'm very excited about it. I think we have some ideas that perhaps the pandemic gave us an opportunity as human beings to reflect and think about the world we live in, and maybe take this as an opportunity to reinvent it a little bit.
How'd you solicit information? How could people get involved?
Yeah, in October of last year, we opened a website. You know, you couldn't get together in person, so sure. We used it as mostly an online portal for people to just give us their ideas. There was no limitations on subject area, and we received hundreds of ideas from the community of what they thought might make this a better place. Between independent ideas and comments on those, it was nearly 600 comments on the site. And they were productive. It wasn't just griping like you sometimes see on social media. And then we took those ideas. We kind of closed down the solicitation of those in December. And we had a steering committee of 10 people that helped us kind of wrestle with the ideas. And then much of my life for the last 6 months has been talking to stakeholders, to other policymakers, decision makers in the community, to get commitment to see these ideas through and bring them to fruition. And in this document, you'll notice there's not an idea we put forward that doesn't have a champion for it, some realistic funding behind it, and a time frame that's pretty near term, 1 to 3 years to get moving on. So it's a big deal.
Could you stay around for a little bit after 8 o'clock?
Absolutely.
Good. I've got about a minute left on this segment. Walk me through, were there some ideas that surfaced that really not many people had ever thought about?
Yeah, I'd say so. Just kind of a fun one off the top of my head, to have the world's biggest penny structure in Springfield. Something I hadn't heard of before.
No.
There was some really kind of more complex ideas. There is a yearning right now for young people to have productive activities. There's a youth employment program that's in here that I think could have a huge impact, especially for disadvantaged kids. There were so many ideas, Sam. Wrestling with it was harder than I may have anticipated it to be. But it's hard to pick one idea. It's almost like your children. They're all your favorite.
How did you determine the top 10? Have we got about 30 seconds or we can wait for your answer?
Yeah. Again, it was through what was kind of a making sausage type process of going through all the kind of raw data of ideas submitted. And then we kind of narrowed it down into categories.
When you looked at it, how surprised were you? Revitalized and Resilient Downtown was number one.
Well, not at all. People care deeply about the downtown. But I will say in the report, these are not in any order of preference
priority. I didn't know that.
We just put numbers on them.
For identification purposes.
But know that people care deeply about the downtown.
John Strimstreffer is with us. He's executive director of the Community Foundation for Land of Lincoln. We'll talk about the 10 categories that they have finalized, whether it be recreational Illinois, downtown Springfield, urban rural connection, and so on. All that and more. John Strimstreffer is with us talking about the next 10 implementation plan. I like that because, let's just go with number one.
Yeah.
A revitalized and resilient downtown. Then after the project, you have four columns, one called details, one called champion, one called proposed funding sources, and one called proposed timeline. Let's start, first of all, with what do you mean? We know the details. Downtown master plan.
Yeah.
What do you mean by the champion? How did someone qualify to be the champion? That's who's carrying the water?
Yeah. They're the ones that have kind of raised their hand and said, we'll take some responsibility for seeing this project through.
Is there a downtown master plan out there right now?
No.
No.
Yeah, there's been kind of things that have touched on it, in my opinion, in the past. The SDAT, RUDAT plans that talked more about the architecture of the downtown and some other, more substantive things of how we can revitalize the economy of the downtown, but not a comprehensive approach. So I think that's something DSI is an organization responsible for downtown and by mission. Really, we're yearning for something like this. So we're going to try to do our level best to make it happen.
How concerned are there people? Do you hear a lot about the Y block? Why isn't being done there? Did that come up a little bit in your survey?
A little bit of commentary of the hundreds of ideas, but not a lot.
Really?
I think maybe it was some fatigue talking about it.
Could be.
But of course, I think it's a very important parcel of property for the core of the city, and I hope that we can find some good use of it.
Illinois State Capitol Complex is still part of the downtown program.
Mm-hmm.
The state of Illinois. Obviously, we hear about the Armory, what the plans are there. What else do we mean by the revitalization? Does that mean bring some jobs back to Springfield possibly?
That would be wonderful, but there are plans now on the books, from my understanding, for the entire Capitol complex. You think the Hallett Building, right, where the Secretary of State is, the State Museum, the Armory. That whole complex is really has some responsibility from the Capitol architect, which both chambers of the legislature have some responsibility over that office. So the idea here was, this is going to happen. It's in the Capitol bill. They're going to release funds over a long period of time. But how do we integrate that into the kind of fabric of the entire downtown district and more cooperation, coordination there between the state and local Springfield? I think that's something we kind of lose sight of sometimes. I personally am proud that we're the state capitol, and I think we need to take advantage of that more. That came through with many of the ideas on the Next 10 Idea Board. How do we integrate that more and take more advantage of it?
There were people who ate outside dining prior to the pandemic, but it has spurred a whole new interest in outdoor dining. What improvements are we looking for in the outdoor dining?
It really was talking with the city. How do we make some of the ordinances that were temporary permanent, and how can we make sure that that kind of nice side effect, I'd say, of the pandemic, it becomes permanent, so people can enjoy more of a European lifestyle here in Central Illinois, where they can eat and have an adult beverage outside under new regulations. So that one, I hope, is an easy fix.
Reactivate, and now we're going to a second one, the Illinois Recreational Playground. We're just going down in no particular order. Reactivate Lake Springfield and especially the Beach House.
Yeah.
I remember the last year or two it was open and free admission, and nobody showed up. I mean, the attendance was dismal at best. That's one of the reasons. And then I think the liability, we had the drowning there and a tremendous, or the lawsuit and so on and so forth. Do people think they would support the Beach House if it reopened?
I think so. There was a lot of commentary on that on the Next 10.
Was there really?
Again,
okay.
Talking to the city about it and just talking to other people, and you know, more anecdotally in my own life, people miss it. And it is, there's not a lot of great public access to the lake. For anyone from the general public to come and enjoy the lake, unless they have a boat they can launch or something like that. But to have a location where the public can come and enjoy Lake Springfield, which is a great amenity here. There's a lot of the interesting private clubs we have all over the lake. It's, I think, a unique thing in Springfield. It's kind of cool. But how can we use the public resource we have in a way we used to?
Let's go from one end of Springfield to the other and talk about water. One of the things was to do something with the Sangamon River.
Yeah.
DNR, Department of Natural Resources, would be very much involved. What's the game plan there?
Yeah, I think they have some ambitions to have more access points throughout the course of the river, to have more outfitters doing canoe trips and things like that. You see in other parts of the state, other parts of the country. So that was one that came up that I hadn't given much thought to before.
Yeah, I agree.
And I'm not a canoe guy, so... but people are, and they can really activate that. Plus, it has a lot of historic elements with Lincoln and ties to New Salem. There's a lot of things that I think we could take advantage of there along the river.
Farmers Market, farm to table, a concept that's growing rapidly. Is Springfield ready for it? I think, obviously, with Harvest Market there and one business in particular, and all the success of a couple of farmers markets we have both downtown at the fairgrounds.
Yeah, this is one that I'm really excited about, and the Sangamon County government said they'd be the champion on this project to bring people together. We have a lot of that going on, restaurants that we all go to where they on the menu now they mention the farm the food came from. I think living here in some of the best soil in the world and the incredible agricultural community, how do we take advantage of that, not just on kind of specific restaurants or specific farms? How can we use that in more totality to market as a tourist destination? People go to Napa Valley for wine. Can they come here for local food? I think that's kind of the ambition behind that one.
John, one of the 10 is support for our most vulnerable, and specifically develop a comprehensive strategy to address homelessness.
Yeah.
It has been an issue that's been talked about in this city for a long time. I thought we were very close at one time to at least having a viable solution that fell by the wayside. How big a concern is it for people with the homeless?
It's a major concern. I think we have a very caring community. I know from the Community Foundation, we have a number of donor funds who have already contributed for many years to various organizations that address the homeless situation. That said, we've never again had kind of a comprehensive approach to it where we try to get as many of these agencies on the same page as possible and the larger community. The Heartland Continuum of Care is a wonderful group of organizations that serve the homeless directly. They have a coordinator now in Josh Sabo who's doing a terrific job. And I think very soon there's going to be some more formal announcements of the strategy and how we move forward on this. I think I'm very hopeful by the end of this year we'll have a strategy in place that will make, I believe, projects like the Center for Health and Housing from a couple years ago more easy to implement because hopefully the consensus building has been done well in advance.
John, let's talk a little about higher education. UIS has a presence. Do you have reason to believe they're going to expand the downtown presence?
I do. The Illinois Innovation Network, which they are part of, they were named as the first hub. I don't know if you remember this, when the Community Foundation created Innovate Springfield.
Sure.
And then transferred ownership of that. And this was back when Bruce Rauner was governor. There was too much fanfare, an announcement that Springfield, UIS campus, would be the first hub. There is money yet to be released. They need to find a location for that downtown to expand Innovate Springfield and bring in more economic development activities from the university's perspective to help employers, you know, educate and train more workers, not just at UIS, but Lincoln Land, SIU School of Medicine, all the educational partners. I think that's one that's going to happen, hopefully very soon. UIS is in the middle of a process right now to determine a location, and that's going to be a huge thing, I think, for the city.
Is there still some serious talk? I know SIU was thinking about maybe a law school in Springfield. Of all the things that have been talked about, I can't believe the state capitol doesn't have a law school. I keep advocating the State Journal Register building would be ideal. Walk straight down Capitol, 7 blocks, and you're at the state house. Mm-hmm. Are we very close to that? Are people still talking about the potential of a law school in Springfield?
People have been talking about it a long time.
Yeah.
I don't know that we're closer than we were, you know, 2 years ago when some of these conversations were happening. We put it in there very in an agnostic way of whether it's SIU, U of I. Frankly, it could be Georgetown or SLU. I don't care. I don't think in the next 10 thinking on this there was any kind of horse in the race. But yes, it seems puzzling that the state capitol and one of the largest states in the country does not have a law school. I, for one, probably would have enrolled in law school. Who knows if I would have graduated.
Yeah.
But when I was a young man working in state government, a lot of my peers in their early 20s, right out of college, were a magnet for those types of potential students. I think a downtown law campus would be incredible for the city. And a lot of people did. And the Growth Alliance is, they stepped forward to say, we'll be the champion for kind of organizing those conversations.
One of the things you folks did that I really like is, you know, I talked about the project and the details and the champion and the proposed timeline. But you talked about proposed funding sources.
Yeah.
How it can be. First thing people ask is, how are you going to pay for it? How are you going to pay for it? You folks addressed that. You really did.
Yeah. And, you know, there's dozens of ideas in here. So each one will develop its own timeline, its own budget, its own trajectory of implementation. But we didn't put it on here unless we really thought it was real. We've seen studies, we've heard about plans, and I don't want to diminish any of those. They're all very important. We looked at those as we built this, but we felt very strongly we needed to make this real. So, for example, there's some smaller funding opportunities that the Community Foundation can make with funds we have. One that I'm really excited about that is starting to, I think, be announced here is kind of a COVID recovery plan, which also we think will be a lot of fun. We made a grant to the Arts Council, which will in turn grant money to bands to play in bars and restaurants as people reopen. So they can go apply through the Arts Council and get up to $500. They coordinate with a facility where they can perform at. So that's something that ought to get dozens and dozens of people performing in the community. We grant money to that to make that happen. We think some of these bigger projects will certainly require state, federal funding. But Sam, I'm optimistic because we are sitting here in a very unique time in society where there's funds that have become available to the city, the county, the school districts, everyone.
No doubt.
In a new way. And we hope that this Next 10 roadmap can be a plan that we hand to those decision makers, those policy makers, and say, hey, there's a lot of good projects that are ready to go.
Can people, the public, pick up one of these publications, this beautiful presentation booklet you put together?
Yeah, we have some limited amount of the hard copies. They can contact our office at 789-4431.
Beautiful.
But it's very easy to get from the website of both the Next 10 website that we use to do this project. It's tn10.org. or the Community Foundation, which is cfll.org. Both have electronic copies there that are nice, kind of flippable pages on your computer screen. But the hard copies, they can also, if they would like one of those, they can contact our office.
Thanks for coming in, as always.
Hey, thanks for having me, Sam.
Good to see you, man. Have a good day. Challenging day ahead of you. Good luck.
Thank you.
You know what I'm talking about.
I do. I appreciate that. And I must say, it's really good to see your face here.
Yes.
From the nose down, even.
It hadn't been said. Thanks, John. I appreciate it.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.